The Psalm 147 is our opening psalm today, back of our hymnal, Psalm 147. Praise God, 'tis good and pleasant and comely to adore. Jehovah builds up Salem, her outcasts doth he restore. 147, this is the back of our hymnal, the psalm section, Psalm 147. Shall we stand to sing? You may be seated. I have a verse. It's well known. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That's Proverbs 31 and verse 10. On this Mother's Day, we want to, of course, encourage and minister to mothers, and we pray that the Lord will bless each and every one as we come into God's house today. This is a very well-known statement. Who can find a virtuous woman? And of course, a woman who blesses, encourages, serves her family, her husband, and is a living light and witness for the Lord, is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And we want to encourage and to provoke you to godliness, encourage you to strive on to be such a woman for the Lord. So let's unite in prayer as we open our service and pray for God's grace and help here today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gathering of Your people here in Your house. And we bless Thee for this opportunity that we have to uplift the name of our God and our Lord Jesus. We acknowledge Thee as the Creator of all things, the Giver of all life, the One who hath made us, that we might worship Thee. And we pray that today, here in this house, that we will worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, it is Thy truth that will fill our hearts and minds. And we pray today that it will please Thee to minister to us graciously. We are mindful here today as well on this Mother's Day to thank Thee, O God, for our wives, for mothers in our congregation, for all that they are and all that they do. And we pray for the blessing of God upon them, that they will be protected from Satan's attacks, that they will be encouraged in serving the Lord all their days, to be that living example of God's grace, God's patience. And we ask, O Lord, that You will use them mightily in Your kingdom. We pray that You will give us Your help today to worship Thee and serve Thee aright. Bless the children in our midst as well. We thank Thee for them. We thank Thee for the gift of little ones, and we pray that their hearts will be directed to know the Lord, that by Your Holy Spirit that You would reveal Your grace unto them, that they would be truly the Lord's, that their hearts will be renewed and drawn to follow Thee, and we pray that You will keep them in the center of Your will. We are mindful today of Your church at large. We think of Your people around the world. Thank You for the liberties and the freedoms that You give to so many. And yet there are those who do not enjoy what we enjoy today. We ask, O Lord, for those who are persecuted, those who are afflicted for Christ's sake. Grant, O God, that You will deal in grace and grant them that liberty that we know. We pray that You will be exalted in our worship this day, and that You will come and minister to us. Remember those who join us by webcast, those who cannot be here in person, and we pray, Lord, that You will have a word in season for each and every heart, for Your own name and for Your glory. We ask these things. Amen. Amen. 376 is our next hymn. 376, Oh, the peace my Savior gives. Once I thought I walked with Jesus, yet such changeful moods I had. 376. Today we're going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. The wonderful story of the Savior meeting the woman at the well. So let's read from verse 1. And we'll go down to 26. John chapter 4, verse 1. Let's hear the Lord's word as we read the scriptures together. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he into a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. "Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Amen. We'll end right there. May the Lord bless his word and encourage you today and speak to your hearts. Thank you all for coming. We welcome you here today in the Savior's name, and we pray that you will be blessed and helped. And mothers in particular, we want to encourage you and trust that the Lord will bless you as well. And visitors, welcome. Great to see you here today. May the Lord encourage you and bless you richly. Just a short few announcements. We have, of course, our evening service at 6 p.m. And this will be our very final message in the book of Revelation. It's God's final invitation that you will find at the close of this book. So I'd love to see you back tonight if you can come and join us for our 6 p.m. service. And of course, our webcast viewers, we invite you back as well to join with us for that service at 6 p.m. Now, this week on Wednesday, Mr. Samuel is going to be leading the midweek prayer meeting because Mr. Rusma and I are going off to Toronto for our May Presbytery and Week of Prayer. And that starts tomorrow evening at 7:30. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Rusma are going to be traveling tonight, right at midnight somewhere. And we'll see how they do tomorrow evening in that meeting, what their listening skills are at that time. Beulah and I plan to travel tomorrow morning, not as early as we had hoped. We got bumped back a little bit, so we hope to be there in reasonable time for the meeting tomorrow evening. But we're calling on Mr. Samuel to fill in on the Wednesday prayer meeting, so I hope that you can come and be a part of that prayer time as well. Now, the preacher next Sunday is going to be the Reverend Andrew Simpson. He and his wife will be here. They're also attending this week of prayer, but they're coming back on Friday. And there are some special arrangements for next Sunday that I need to attend, so we're staying on for that. But Mr. Simpson will be your preacher next Sunday for all the services here. Now, for by the literature, for those who may not have a magazine or whatever, make sure you pay attention to that. Next Sunday, there is a Korean group that are going to commence using our building. They will be in at 1 p.m. through to 5 p.m. For the remaining months of the year, at least. So if you see them coming or going, you'll understand that they have the use of the building during those times. We have found them to be a reformed, conservative group, very compatible, and I trust that the Lord will make this a good, happy arrangement for them as they serve the Lord in their community and seek to be a witness for the Lord in their way. They are called Sungjin Church. Jin, I believe, means life, so we'll trust the Lord will you bless them. Right, let's turn to our offering hymn, to 371, 371. "It is well with my soul, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou's taught me to say, it is well with my soul." 371, we'll keep our seats on the first verse or two. And Mr. Rusma, please lead us in prayer.
Heavenly God, Father, we come unto thee on this beautiful morning.
We thank thee, Lord, for drawing us into thy house. We thank thee for thy goodness and love and care towards us. We ask you would take our tithes and our offerings, that you would bless them, that the gospel may go forth. Bless the gospel as it goes forth in this building. Help our preacher to deliver that message. And we ask that over the radio airwaves, over the internet, that your gospel message would go forth, that it would take root, and that it would do what you ask it to accomplish. We pray that you be with every heart here, that you would speak to us, bless the message, be with all of us, that there be a message for young and old, and that we would rejoice in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's stand, please, for the remainder of this hymn. Verse 2 on. Help and favor now upon our gathering. Lord, speak to my heart and to each heart. Bless mothers here today. And again, we thank thee for their love, their grace, the grace of God in them, and all the favor that you bestow upon our families through them. We pray that they might find joy and encouragement in hearing and receiving your word today. But speak to every heart. Grant us that personal encounter with the living God, that thou art not far away but near, nearer than our very breath. Do minister to us. Breathe upon us. Give us your power, Lord. Send us the Holy Spirit to teach us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Coming back to John chapter 4 and to this wonderful account of the Lord Jesus meeting this Samaritan woman at the well midday. And there's a lot of mysteries about this whole account. A lot of things that really we can't explain. There is the must that Jesus said to his disciples that we must go through Samaria. And there you see God's providence at work arranging this very interview that woman would come out at that very time when the Lord was there at the well all alone, the disciples having gone to get some provisions, and there they were. Now the woman coming at noon hour, that's another mystery, because that's an odd hour to be going for water. And then the fact that she went alone. And that might be accounted for because she was a fallen woman. And other religious ladies of the village may not even want to be seen with her. And so she went all alone at the noon hour when no one else would be going at that hottest point of the day. And then the fact that she brought her water pot to find water out of a well, but then she ran off leaving it behind her. That's a strange one. And then she runs into the city and she has this message. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. This woman had a great, great story to tell. And in that excitement, arriving into the city, breathless, potless, and fearless, to tell about her newfound Lord. And she said, come, see a man. It's the story of a man who sought her out. Even in that little pointer, we must needs go through Samaria. This was a divinely appointed interview with this lady. And there at the well, and he broke the silence between Jews and Samaritans. That surprised her. I'm a Samaritan. Why are you talking to me? But of course the Lord had an interest and a message to her. It's the story of a man who searched her heart because she announced, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. And of course we know that he was able to open up the whole subject about her having had five husbands and that the man that she was now in relations with was not her husband. And so the Lord went very close to the quick of her heart to search out those secret things that surprised her greatly. And then there is the Lord, the story of a man who gave her the water of life. The water of life, living water. What could that be? She had gone to the well to fetch regular water, but now she ran off without that. But she had found water of which if any man thirst, he will never thirst again. Now my interest is in this living water which the Lord promised to this woman. And here really lies the greatest hope and comfort that any soul can find. And I'm thinking today in particular of mothers. We know the cares, the burdens that you alone, and sometimes very alone, have to deal with. The emotional trials that men seem to escape in this world, but that you enter into and have to deal with in a very sacrificial manner. And then there are a mother's frustrations. How could I ever preach on those? My, that would be quite a sermon, wouldn't it? A mother's frustrations, disappointments that fill you sometimes with bitter tears. And in reality, when you become a mother, you set yourself up for heartache. That's just the reality of life as a mother. When that baby comes into your life, you are set upon a life of care a life of just dealing with hard, difficult, and very emotional things. Then there was the heartache of this woman, which is the greatest heartache of all, and that was her sin. This woman was dead inside, and she was reaping the wages of sin, which is death, which was likely, as I said, the reason why she was there at that well, all alone, unaccompanied by any of the other ladies, at the most unlikely hour of the day, the hottest hour. And her immoral life had caught up with her, and as sin always does, she was feeling the inner rot of spiritual death. Now, when the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, it's more than being cast out into hell. There can be years of torment in the soul in this world. There's the conscience that never sleeps, that continually speaks up, pointing out that sin, all the regret of it and all the torment of it. Memories, scenes, and horrible things of life flash back to fill the sinner with deep remorse. Bitterness of soul, which can sometimes turn into anger against God, and a spirit of rebellion to God. And that is a very bitter place indeed to be. And perhaps that's where this woman was when she came to meet the Savior at this well. And so here we are in a gospel church service, and we have good news today of a woman who found living water. That obviously to her brought new life, new purpose, new zeal, new joy. And of course, this water of life, this new life that is in Christ, is really the message of the gospel that we can preach to each and every one. What a perfect analogy we have here, this water of life. A perfect analogy for spiritual life, the life of the Lord Jesus in you. After all, water is life. I was trying to find an adjective for water, couldn't find one. Is it the commodity of life? Is it the fountain of life? Is it the source of life? And I just came with this: water is life. And Jesus is life. He is life in himself. We find that in John 1. He is life. In him is no darkness. He is light. He's life. And just as with all earthly life, with water, everything flourishes. Everything lives. Without water, it dies. And that's true if you are a Christian. If you have the Lord Jesus living in your heart, you live. You live unto God. You have a prayer life. You have a secret life. You have a devotional life. You have joy. You have peace. You have gladness. You have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But without him, you die. He is indeed life. And so spiritually, living water is the blessing of the gospel to bring a dead soul into the enjoyment and the fullness of knowing God. And we see that happening to this woman here at the well. So allow me today, as your pastor, ladies, allow me to take this analogy, water, as a picture, as a type, an expression of spiritual life in the Lord Jesus. Now in verse 10, you'll come to what the Lord Jesus said to this lady. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. Now, the Lord begun the conversation by asking drink of her, as if he had nothing to draw with, as if he had no ability himself to fetch water out of the well. He began with this request to her, give me to drink. And this woman began to respond in this way. And then he said, and he would have given thee living water. Now, living water speaks of power to purify. Living water. Living water is that water that's bubbling up in an internal source. Living water is running water. It's filtered through the rocks of the earth. And unlike the stagnant water where bacteria breeds by the hour in the hot sun until the water literally stinks, and it might be dead fish or feces or bacteria that's multiplying in the hot sun, and that water is a killer. But this water, this living water, it purifies and it cleanses. And when Jesus met this Samaritan woman, her life was a mess. When the Lord asked her to go fetch her husband, he dug down deep into the mire of her life. And thankfully, she was honest enough to open up and express, I have no husband. I have no husband. That was her reply. And the Lord then went on to announce, yes, because you've had five husbands. And the man that you are now living with is not your husband. And so he went right down deep into this woman's heart. Now later, when we see this woman running into the town with living water in her soul, having met with the Lord and received his word, she was of a very different mind. It is as if sin was behind her, as if the past was over. A new life had sprung up in her soul. And I want you to note that this woman got this truth of living water. You'll notice in verse 11 that she asked about it. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? That now became her interest. And she begins to buy into this analogy of living water. And you're going to find this in the life-changing power of the Lord Jesus. He has the power to forgive sin and to break the power of sin. And just as living water purifies, the living Lord Jesus in your life will make you a different person. Make you a new person. His life in the soul of a sinner will not leave you in a state like that stagnant water, getting more corrupt by the hour, more deathly by the hour. No, the Lord Jesus changes and turns hearts. And of course, converts to Christ who drink of this living gospel water, they cannot continue in sin. You cannot go on in the old way. And here is the hope of every believer in Christ today. Christianity is more than a mere empty profession. It's more than just buying into a doctrine. It is the entering in of a Savior into your soul, taking up residence in your heart. And you become a new person, demonstrated or spoken of here as living water. And once you have been saved, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and are indwelt by his Spirit, you can't live the old life anymore. It's more than just about legal cleansing. It's more than just about a new perspective. It's a new life. Living water. And I rejoice today with every woman in this congregation that is enjoying this new life in the Lord Jesus and its power, his power, living in you. Now, my second major heading here today is that this living water, number one, it spoke about purity. It purifies. It turns away from sin. It makes you a new person. But secondly, living water speaks of an inward supply. An inward supply. Look at verse 14. Here is the Lord going on now. This conversation with the woman is going on. And he says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's the close of verse 13. That's the physical water. That's the water out of Jacob's well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. A well of water. The gospel is more than just outward reformation. It's inward cleansing that changes the heart. It's a new heart, a new nature. And of course, the Lord promises, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart and give you an heart of flesh. Now, how can this happen? How can this new life come about? Well, by the new birth, by being born again of the Holy Spirit. When we come to think about water in this analogy, you need to think about the Holy Spirit. Now, I can prove that point. If you turn to John 7 and verse 39, you will see that when the Lord Jesus talked about men, women thirsting, that he talked about giving them living water. John 7, 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then you have in brackets as a comment on that statement, but this spake he of the Spirit, uppercase S, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so this water, this living water, is a picture, a type, and an analogy of the Holy Spirit coming to live within your heart. How does this happen? By the new birth, born again from above. You're given a new heart, a new nature, and you have the Holy Spirit coming to live within you. Someone was asked, what is the greatest outstanding feature of Christianity? And he said, undoubtedly, it is this notion. And he may not have been a believer himself, but this notion that God, the Holy Spirit, can live inside a human body. That's an amazing thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's what makes Christianity so unique, so blessed. It's not just me on my own doing what I think to be best and better and improving on myself. It is opening my heart to have the living Lord come in to live in me as Lord of my life. And when the Lord comes in and the Holy Spirit takes control, he is the sanctifier. That's his work. He has come to sanctify. Now that simply means purify and to make us more like the Lord Jesus. And there is no greater blessing in this world, in any home, than a Christ-like mother. A mother whose life is surrendered to the Lord, and you are praying, seeking constantly to live more and more like the Lord Jesus. That will change you. It will change your home. It will make you a wonderful blessing to your family. Now, the Holy Spirit ministers to your heart. He comes in to minister within you. He's the sanctifier. And his ministry is to apply to your life the victory of Christ at the cross. This might seem to be very simplistic language, but it doesn't need to be complicated. When Christ died on the cross, he purchased every victory, every blessing that you need to live the Christian life. Now, how does it get from the cross all the way into your heart and your own personal walk? How does all the power of it and all the blessings of Calvary's finished work transform your life, your soul? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the executor. He is the one who takes the blessings of Christ, makes them real, and applies them, makes them work in you by his power, by his Spirit. And the first work is the work of reconciliation. You see, by nature, we feel at a distance from God. That's our nature. That's what sin has done. That's what the curse has done. But when you become a Christian, you now enjoy real communion with God. You're no longer at a distance. You are reconciled. Now, it's one thing to go to Romans chapter 5 and read about reconciliation, read about what Christ has done. But it's another thing to enjoy it. It's another thing to overcome our fears and our sense of failures and our weaknesses and to be brought into the real sweet enjoyment of reconciliation with the living God. But that is the work of the Spirit. That is what Jesus was offering to this woman, that I will give you water, living water, of which you will never thirst again. And that's what the gospel works in your hearts. The Spirit's work is also the spirit of sonship, by which we can pray. Sonship. We can call Father God our Father. This is profound, that we can refer to the God of heaven as our Father. And our Lord Jesus taught his disciples, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. And you are brought into this liberty in prayer, access to God. You are no longer looked upon as a stranger, but a member of the family. You have sonship, or for ladies, I'll call it daughtership. You are in the family. You may call God your Father. And you live in sweet communion with him. Power is the next thing the Holy Spirit works. There is that strengthening in the inner man, the inner being of our souls. And this is the water that bubbles up. This springing up water, life from within, life that energizes, life that purifies, life that gives you the power to live the life that you want to live for God. That's what Jesus gave to this woman. And mothers, your life, your hard tasks, the emotions of them, the draining nature of them, the weariness that befalls you just by the very nature of your role as wife, mother, grandmother, all the demands that it brings, there is power. And there's life that will make you the woman that you need to be. I think that ladies have a greater capacity for this exercise of the heart. Women, generally speaking, you are more creative than men. To put it in easier terms, you are more artsy than men. I remember being in school, and the girls always had the pictures, the paintings, the artwork. They were always ahead. The guys either had no interest in it or no abilities. There was maybe one or two stars, but they were in the minority. It was usually the girls who had the head start in that. Likewise, in literature and poetic expression, women, you're streets ahead of us men when it comes to that. Men deal in objectivity, in blocks, in those hardcore things like logic and defending and arguments and all those things. That's the man's role. But the woman has this tender, emotional, creative ability. And when it comes into the spiritual life, it brings you into a realm that has depths that are very personal and very real to you. And the mothering nature that demonstrates love to protect that baby or that little son or daughter comes also into expression in your standing up for the Lord Jesus. I see that because Christian women are usually very offended when the Lord Jesus is put down, when the Lord is blasphemed. The Christian woman is the first to be rattled and disturbed by those very things. There's a sensitivity right there. Love in the heart is poured out from within. Jesus in you will be manifest in powerful ways. The Holy Spirit is described as having a dove's nature. And ladies, that's very close to your nature. You have that meek, quiet, godly spirit, which is easily offended, easily disturbed. And just as the dove is quickly driven away, there are things that disturb you so quickly. And your cry, by grace, by your mother nature, is for more holiness, more usefulness to the Lord. And I pray that the Lord answers that cry of your heart, that you excel and abound in that gift of deep-seated emotional attachment unto the Lord. Now I see it here in this woman at the well. When she latched on to this offer of living water, we see her dropping her pot, running off into the village, and without any shame, without any self-consideration, she cries out, "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did." And there is a new zeal, a new power in her life because of what our Lord Jesus gave her that day. And I pray that for you. I pray that you will enter into the sweetness, the blessedness, the power, and yes, the zeal of being a Christian wife, mother, a Christian woman, loving the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Now, I need to close on this point, if we go down to verse 14, back in John 4, that living water speaks of a water supply that will never run dry. Because the Lord went on to expound this, and he said in verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, this was not just a day's supply, and it was not what this woman could put into her little pot. This was an abundance, because the Lord was offering a well It shall be springing up in him a well of water. Now, that's like teaching someone to fish as opposed to giving him a few fish. If you give someone a few fish, he has a meal or two, it's all gone. But if you teach someone to fish, he's got a lifelong supply. He knows how to fish himself. And here the Lord is offering to this woman not just to drink once or twice or to fill her pot and supply the need for the day, but water that will last for everlasting life. And this is actively a gushing well. That's what it refers to. It's springing up. This water is replenishing itself. Drink and it's full again. Drink and it's full again. It's an everlasting supply. And the Lord referred to it springing up into everlasting life. Now, the wonder of it is that it's right now. It's a present supply. It's not just after we die and we end up in eternity. This supply is right now. It's heaven begun in your soul right now. That's what salvation is. Salvation is glory begun right in your heart at this very time. Now, this language is not strange in the Bible. You'll find that Isaiah talks about drawing water from the wells of salvation. In Isaiah 12, behold, God is my salvation. And the reasoning here is that salvation comes from God. It's not a human supply. It's not even an institution's supply, an institution of men. But it is from the very heart of God. And he is the one that supplies. It's given by the Lord himself. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus is Jehovah. And when you come to the Lord and put your trust in him, he has all life in himself to supply every need. Back in John 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so we have an everlasting supply. Now the thing to rejoice in, that the grace of the Savior will never fail. It will never run dry. It will never cease to meet the need of your hearts, even in weakness. And every Christian has the fear, and perhaps ladies all the more the fear, I don't have the strength, I can't do this, I'm not up to it. Well, remember what the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And that was in his infirmity. That was with his sickness, his pain, his trial of life. My grace is sufficient for thee. And so here is a supply that will meet your need right now. But also meet your need in death. The Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And this gospel life, this water of life, this grace from the Savior will not fail you in the hour that you need it most. It will be your perfect supply, even in that hour. And then out into eternity, we will continually drink of that grace of the Lord Jesus. Remember what we learned in Revelation 22, verse 1, that we saw a fountain flowing from the very throne of God and the Lamb sitting upon the throne. And there in heaven again is this picture of living water, this endless supply in heaven itself. And that is our constant hope. How can that be? Because he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and everything in between. And so, mothers, I want to address this to you in particular. Make it your mission to be a little example of heaven in your home. That's my appeal to you today. Because Christ gives you everything you need to do it. It will be the sweetest thing that you will ever experience in your own life. And it will make you the greatest blessing that you can ever be in your home and family. To be that little taste of heaven right here on earth. So that out of your life is coming this life of Christ, this life of the Spirit, enabling, transforming, changing, making you an overcomer over the frustrations, the troubles, the trials, and even the tears that a mother often expresses. Because this is now the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is now being born in your life so that you can rise above frustrations and complaints. This is the antidote to being a complainer, a quitter, a drag, and a problem. A Christian woman enjoying the liberty, the life of Christ flowing out of your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Mothers, excel in these things. To this you're called. That's why the Lord has saved you. And by this God will make you an amazing blessing to your family. And it won't be long until you are in heaven. Just think on that. Won't be long. This little life is going to be lived out very quickly. And your earthly mission will be over. And so now, labor and serve out of this living water that Jesus gives. And then you'll have a wonderful ladies' meeting in heaven. Won't that be great? A ladies' meeting in heaven? Mrs. Roosma's down in the nursery right now, so she doesn't hear this. She's always encouraging the ladies of our church to come to the ladies' meeting in our congregation. But there will be a wonderful ladies' meeting in heaven. What will you talk about? My husband was so difficult, but God gave me the grace to be a wife to him. My children were so troublous. And you will tell the stories over and over, not only of the trouble, but of the grace that God gave you to be an overcomer. The Lord calls every one of us to be overcomers in various situations in life. And you can be the answer. You can be the solution. You can be God's gift rather than the one that pulls down. And I want to assure you that this well will not run dry. Living water springing up into everlasting life, Jesus said. Not in a million years will this supply run dry. Take that to heart today. And go live in the sweetness, the fullness of the life that Jesus gives. And may God bless you and be gracious unto you. Let's close today with a hymn, 443. 443. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. 443. Let's stand to sing, please. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for all the grace that you give to us. Overcoming grace, sin-defeating grace, day's strength for day's tasks, and for all the blessings and the joy that bubbles up in our hearts when we are serving in the strength of the Lord. O Lord, encourage every woman here today. Bless every home, every marriage, every son and daughter. And we pray that the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be upon your people now and evermore. Amen. Amen.